I got a question for you guys. Real easy one. What does Christmas mean to you? Just presents. Jesus. Of course. What? The birth of Jesus.
Spending time with family.
Family time. Food. Mm. What kind of food?
Turkey.
Good food, right? Not crappy food, good food. What was that? Eggnog. All right. Turkey. Oh, yes, turkey. What else? Tim Hortons. Stuff, getting stuff. Presents, yeah.
The Grinch.
The Grinch. Ooh, who stole Christmas? Anybody else? Santa, okay. Christmas lights. Funny thing about Santa, my five-year-old never believed in Santa. And when he explained the story of St. Nicholas, we told her that he had died a long time ago, so she started telling her friends that he was dead. No! This poor little five-year-old, what, Santa's dead? All right. So there's lots of things, right? Okay, how about this question? Why do you think people give gifts to other people at Christmas?
Celebration.
Yeah, celebration. What?
I don't know,
to be nice.
To be nice,
okay. Why is it the season of giving?
Because it is.
Because it is. Well, that's really surface level. Let's go a little bit below that. Why?
Jesus wants us to feel special.
Okay. Tyler. Because the wise men give gifts to Jesus? Okay, that's actually one theory why there's gifts given. Anybody else? Why do we give gifts? Okay, showing people how much you care and love them. Rylan, man, you're just all over this question, eh?
God wants you to feel special.
God wants you to feel, okay. All right, that's very similar to Jesus wants you to feel special. Anyone else? Why do we give gifts at Christmas? Yeah, okay. Anyone else? Why do you give gifts to people?
Makes you feel good,
okay. It's a tradition, you just always have done it, okay? Makes other people feel special that you like, right? That you love? Anyone else? Why do you give gifts to people? So you can feel special. He gets gifts to feel special and he gives gifts to feel special. At least he's honest. Anyone else? Why would you personally give someone a gift at Christmas? Because it's nice. Ah, there we go. There's some more honesty because you're getting some back, right? If you don't give any, you're probably not getting any either, right? So, like I said, today's talk is about God's great gift to us. And I want us to kind of think about why God would give us a gift. All right? All right, we're going to read. You guys can turn in your Bibles to page 577. It's the book of Matthew. Says birth of the Messiah in bold. We're going to read starting right underneath that in verse 18. So, by the way, I'm not going to read all the way through this. I'm going to explain as we go through. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. What does the Messiah mean? Okay, what does the Christ mean? I mean, we recognize that Jesus was a man and that was his name, right? But why Christ? Is that his last name? He was the Son of God, yeah, but what does the Christ mean? You're really close. Savior. Actually, Jesus' name means the Lord saves. That's what the name Jesus means. The Messiah is actually a term of a kingly term or a royal term. And Messiah was promised long, long time ago after a great king of Israel named David. And in the Psalms, actually, we find that it was promised that a descendant of David would come and he would set up a kingdom that would rule forever. Okay? Jesus, this person that was coming, the Jews called the Messiah. He was going to come, he was going to deliver them, he was going to be their king. Okay? When Jesus died, there was a sign tacked up above the cross, above his head, and it said, King of the Jews. But what they didn't know is that that was actually prophesied 800 years before Jesus even died, before he even lived. All right, so that's what the Messiah is. And the people were waiting for this. They were waiting because they were, we've talked about this lots, but it was in the first century and the Romans were oppressing them. They didn't like the Romans. The Romans didn't like them, and so on and so forth. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Very interesting, because as far as I know, it's pretty much impossible for a virgin to be pregnant, right? Isn't that the whole, you know, virgin isn't pregnant? No. Okay. So we need to figure out what's happened here. One of one of our biggest beliefs in Christianity is that Jesus was born of a virgin, which was in fact, you go back 800 years into the book of Isaiah, the prophet. He was 800 years before Jesus. He prophesied that this person would come and be born of a virgin. In fact, it's in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and we're gonna read it in a few minutes here. But here's the thing: in the first century, Jews were given in marriage. They were usually girls about 12 years old were ready to be married, so they could be engaged at 12. By 13, they were allowed to be married. So pretty much everybody here would either be engaged or on the way to being engaged, or a lot of the older girls, you would already be married. And so tradition holds it that Mary was very young. It's possible that when the angel spoke to her and told her that she would bear a son as a virgin, she would have been only 12 years old. Think about that. This is a young, young girl. Also, Mary came from a little town. Nobody heard of it. It was basically nowhere. There's like 100 people that probably live there. She was also poor. She was just a peasant girl. And so when the angel came to her and told her she was going to have a baby, she was shocked. She's like, what? Well, shocked more probably because she was virgin. But also because why in the world would God choose her? Right? All right. So this is all in play. God was the one who she became pregnant by a miracle, right? God actually created a person in her womb. So, and eventually was named Jesus. All right, let's keep going. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. Probably doing what pretty much any average guy would do, any good guy. You find out that your virgin to be bride, fiance or whatever they're, what's the woman called?
Fiance.
Oh, okay. All right. You find out she's pregnant, you'd be like, I think there's something happening here that I'm not aware of. Because I don't think that just happens overnight as you're sleeping in your parents' home. So Joseph says, you know, obviously she's been unfaithful to me, so I'm just going to, you know, he's a good guy. He doesn't want to disgrace her, so he's going to go about it quietly, and he's actually going to, it says, divorce her. But back then, once you were engaged, divorce, in order to get unengaged, it was actually a divorce. So this is what happened. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David. See, Joseph was in the line of David. So was Mary, actually. The angel said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet, which is the prophet we talked about 800 years before it prophesied this. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. I got a question for you guys. If you were to define the perfect gift, like, if someone is to give you a gift, what kind of gift would it be? Not what would the gift be, but what kind of gift would it be? Okay? Something that makes you stronger. It would be something you can consume, okay? It would be costly. All right?
Riley.
It would be cool in what way? Why would it be cool? That's the question. Why would this be cool? Makes you feel special. Okay. All right. Catherine. What's that? Something from the heart. Somebody put some thought into it, right? All right. Justin. Immortality. I thought I said mortality. I'm like, well, you already got that. That's kind of a... Immortality. Okay. Anyone else? Love. How? What's that? Oh, there we go. Who said that? Marcus? Oh. Something I need. That's good. All right.
A brand new house.
So if you were impoverished somewhere and you desperately needed food, what would be the best gift?
Food.
If you lived in Cold Lake outside right now, what would be the best gift? With a heater. Yes, that would be there would be no other gift that could come compared to that, right? The best gift. See, most of us have more than we could ever want. Like, we don't have a lot of needs. But people who are in need, you give them a gift, and it's something that they desperately need. It's an amazing gift. How about exciting? Would you describe the perfect gift as something that's exciting?
Yeah.
I mean, I would. I wouldn't want to be boring, right? That'd be hardly the perfect gift. Something exciting. Like right now, a trip to somewhere warm. That would be exciting. Okay. And somebody already said it, but often, like if you're thinking of the perfect gift, usually it costs the person who gives something a lot, right? Because what happens when something is really costly? Not necessarily money-wise, but what if something costs somebody something, what does that do to the gift? Value, right? It makes it worth more. It makes it, what's that?
Precious.
Makes it precious. Okay. It makes it valuable. All right. And could you say that it adds meaning? Huh?
Yes. I guess.
Yes. If it costs somebody a lot, if somebody sacrifices you to get you this gift, that's very meaningful. You know that this person loves you, or maybe wants something from you, but let's just do the positive. You know that they love you, they've sacrificed to give you this gift. All right. Well, I want to describe for you God's great gift for us. Okay, we read a little bit here in Matthew, but here's the deal. God knew exactly what we needed most. If you were a dying person, and God was going to offer you one thing, more than likely, you'd ask for healing, right? If you were dying of cancer, what?
I'd ask to go to heaven.
Nice. Good one. You got me on that. But in my case, I want to go to heaven, but I got three little kids, and I couldn't stomach the fact leaving my little kids behind. Like they'd be devastated. It's because they're not your kids. All right, Rylan, we'll have to talk after. This is getting serious. All right. So here's the deal. God knew that we needed something desperately. A lot of us still don't even know it, or at least won't acknowledge it. God knew that we needed salvation. And why do you think that we would need something like salvation? What does that even mean? Anybody? Yeah. To be saved from something? But like, why? Why would God do that? What is he trying to save us from? God wants to restore our relationship with him. We've talked about it lots. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, sin entered the world and separated us from God. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve. And so we carry sin with us. We also sin by choice. We're full of, and sin, you could say, just a quick definition, is rebellion against God. Disobeying God, rebelling against him and his ways. All right. So, have you guys listened to the news? Do you guys ever listen to the news? What would you say describes the kind of news that you hear on the TV? What?
Dangerous.
Boring? Dangerous? Okay, would you say that the majority of news that you hear on TV is bad news?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like, there's crazy stuff happening all over the place, right? There's war, there's genocide, there's just horrible things happen. Yeah, there's murder, there's rape, there's like, it's just brutal, right? Especially if you watch Fox News. Don't watch Fox News, it's lots of bad news. So here's the deal, guys. Listen up, hello. Question, we're finished with the question now. God, when he looked down on us, he saw that we were headed for destruction. I mean, all you have to do is watch the news a little bit to find out what kind of people we are. Not just they are the people that are doing the bad things, but what kind of people we are. This is happening in our world. Okay, there's terrible things happening. Well, you talk to I have a few police officers who are friends. You talk to them about what's happening here in Cold Lake. It's crazy. Like, we don't even know most of the stuff that's happening. Yeah.
They don't have news in Vegas.
That's true. Okay. See, God looked at us and he saw that we were headed for destruction. And you know what? God loved us so much that he said, you know what? I need to give them a gift. There's only one way that I can help them. Let's get this picture in our head. Let's say we're driving in a car and we're driving toward the Grand Canyon at high speed. Okay? No brakes in our car. None. And we have no idea. Why? You don't have no idea that the Grand Canyon's there. We're just like, woo, this is awesome, man. You got that thing cranked and you're just giving her. Okay? Now God's looking down at us and he sees the Grand Canyon. We don't. He sees the Grand Canyon and he's like, I gotta do something, because that car is destined to go off that cliff. So what would you say the perfect gift would be for that car? A bridge, okay. Wings. Brakes. Okay. Brakes would be a good gift. What else would be a good gift? Yeah, Dawson. You hear guys? Hey guys, did you hear that? You hear what Dawson say? Say it again, Dawson. A sign. If you were going crazy toward the Grand Canyon, and there's like a couple miles out, there's a big sign that says, there's a really big canyon ahead. Don't drive. Stop. What would you do?
I'd keep on going.
I would turn.
You would turn, right?
I'd keep on going.
Okay, guys. Listen up for a second. Hey, guys. Listen up now. Question time over again. Pay attention. So here's the deal. Humanity is headed, like in this car, toward this ditch. Okay? And God saw that we needed something. And so he gave us a sign. The first sign was that there was a baby born of a virgin. Okay? That was a sign. The Bible even calls it a sign. That's a sign that this baby is not like other babies. There has been no other baby born of a virgin. Only one. And that was Jesus. Okay? He's given us some signs. Something big is going to happen. So what does God do next? Well, the baby grows up to be a boy. The boy grows up to be a man. He dedicates his life to obeying God, following God, doing the things that God wants him to do. Doesn't do anything wrong. Like, perfect. No sin at all. His whole life, he lived 33 years, didn't sin once. And the reason why he didn't have our sin, like we said, we were born in sin, because the Holy Spirit was his father. God was his father. So he came into the world, unlike us, without sin. There's only one other man that ever did that. And that was Adam. He came into the world without sin. The Bible calls Jesus the second Adam. So given humanity another shot. So God gives us this gift, and it's a baby. And he starts putting some signs up and saying, hey, something big is going on here. So we have the virgin, we have a baby born of a virgin. We have a guy who grows up, no sin. His teaching is amazing. The crowds, when they hear his teaching, are just shocked. They're like, nobody teaches like this. Who is this guy? He heals the sick. He gives sight to the blind. He raised a dead guy to life. Actually, more than one. Amazing. I mean, something's happening here. There's some signs here. And for those of you guys who don't necessarily believe the Bible, this is also documented in other writings, non-Jewish writings, about Jesus. He did. He had miracles, right? He made water into wine. Very cool. It would be, yes. So what's so amazing about this? He's given us these signs so that what? What does a sign do? Helps us to see what's coming, right? A sign tells us, yeah, shows us the way. So this sign, this baby, his name was Jesus. And he came to show us the way to life. He show us that we need to steer away from the Grand Canyon that we're all headed toward. It wouldn't be very cool, believe me. And what's so amazing about this gift? Here's a couple things. Did you guys know that every other religion on this planet has this one basic primary belief? Is that we need to ascend to God. You guys know what I mean by that? What's ascend mean? To go up. We need to go to meet God, okay? And how do you do that? You got to be good enough. How else do you get to God? Lots of Red Bull. What's that? Okay. How about other? I'm talking about every other religion besides Christianity. Follow the rules. Be a good person. Do good things. Or have good karma, right? Karma? I'm not going to go there right now. We don't have time. But basically, if you have bad karma, you got to start over again, maybe as something else, right? It's reincarnation. So all these other beliefs think that you need to do better, you need to be good, you need to do all this stuff in order to get to God. Well, here's the difference between God's gift to us and what every other religion believes. Is that God, this is really significant, guys. We don't ascend to God. God descended, came down to us. Okay? This is super significant. Because there is no way, if you think about it, there's no way to go to meet God. We can't be good enough on our own terms. We're sinful, we do stupid things, we screw up, we say stupid things, we hurt people, we hate people, we are bitter, we're filled with all this sin. The Bible says our heart is desperately wicked. There is no way that we can get to God. Absolutely no way. If you think that being a good person is going to get you to God, guess again, it's not. Okay? The Bible says, it's the prophet Isaiah, that all of our righteous acts or our good works are like filthy rags in God's eyes. That's a pretty big statement. The reason why he said that is because we cannot, and all of our good works and all of our trying and striving, we cannot get to God. There's only one way for us to get to God, and that's if God comes down. That's why God became a man. That's why all these signs were happening. God was showing us the way that this was God himself descending to us so that we could be with God, so he could restore a relationship with us. There is no other way to restore a relationship with God than through Jesus. He's the sign.
So you're saying you go to heaven no matter what?
If you believe in Jesus. The Bible says that that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father except through him, through Jesus. There's no other way. Why? Because we can't get to God. You guys catching this? We can't get to God. God has to come down to us. We could never aspire to be like gods. It's impossible. Okay. That's the significance. That's one of the biggest significance about this gift that God gave us. Because there's no way we could ever attain it. And here's the other significance. We talked about, what is a good... Somebody said it costs. It's costly. Well, here's what it costs. There's no gift that could... I have a son, okay? There is absolutely no gift that I can think of that would cost more than my son. Okay? I'd rather myself, right? I don't want to give my son away. I'd rather say, okay, I'll do... I'll take his place. There's, it's my son. It's my little boy. And I know, you guys... Tough to understand that, not being a dad or mom, but if you have children, that's something, yeah. There's no greater gift that you could give somebody. Especially, get this, especially because God knew what we would do to his son. to his gift. How did God know? Well, again, back to the book of Isaiah, 800 years before Jesus was born. You can follow along. It's on page 437. Okay, it's Isaiah chapter 53. This is what God knew before he gave us the gift. This is how costly this gift was for him. Remember, this is his son. That's a huge gift just to start with. But to know in advance what they're going to do to your son? Who has believed our message? It says big 53 there, page 437. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot. This is talking about Jesus. Like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Imagine you giving somebody the gift that you couldn't imagine, like the biggest gift that you could possibly imagine that cost you everything. And this is how that person treats it. They don't even care. And not only that, yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong. He had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. This was written 800 years before the life of Christ. 800 years before it happened. Again, that's another sign, right? A prophecy. A prophet writing something 800 years before it happens. That's another thing. Hey, that's a sign. Maybe this is real. Maybe this is true. God gave us this incredible gift. And this is how we treated him. All of us are guilty of it. We weren't there to pound the nails in his hands, but because of our sin, did you guys catch the end of that? This was God's plan. He knew how much this gift was going to cost him. Because he loved us and he wanted to restore relationship with us, he knew that this gift would cost him everything. His only son. And yet he still gave it to us. This is why we celebrate Christmas. It's the birth of Jesus. God descending to us, coming down to us, knowing that we could never, ever get to him. That's what Christianity is all about. So you might ask the question, so what about the good works things? Aren't we supposed to be good people? Yeah. But it's not our efforts, it's not our goodness, it's not our striving to be good that actually God desires. What he wants is for you, first of all, to accept his gift of Jesus, who saves. His name means saves. The Lord saves. And to make him the king of Lord of your life, which is the king. And we've talked about this, you know, multiple times. That we give our lives to him and say, you know what, because of this great gift for us, wow, this is amazing. You would give your only son. Now, it doesn't even make sense. And yet, it's like, wow, who would do that? Only God. So where do the good works come from? Well, they come from love. When you love somebody, you do good things for them, right? If you hate them, you probably do bad things to them. But if you love them, you want good for them, right? So when you decide that you want to follow Jesus, you start loving him because you realize the gift that he is. And what happens? Jesus actually moves into your life, transforms you into a new person. And the stuff that you do and the good things that you do aren't because you're trying to reach up and attain God status. It's because you love Jesus and you want to be like him. That's why we celebrate Christmas. We're going to pray and we're going to head off to our small groups. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your awesome gift to us. Thank you for all the signs that you gave us to show us that this was coming. Thank you for the sign himself, Jesus Christ, that you sent, your Son, that we would know that this was the Son of God, that he could come to take away our sins, that he would die for us, that he would carry our sins, even that was written 800 years before he even was born. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible gift. And Lord, help us not to treat this gift like we just read, to despise it, to reject it. Father, help us to receive this gift with open arms. And Lord, for those out there that are maybe thinking about this, Lord, I just pray that you would meet with them, that you would reveal yourself to them. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you guys are wondering about this stuff, our leaders are always, always available to talk to you about having a relationship with Jesus.